CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzler, joined by Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. The tragedy in Kabul, all eyes. However, there are other tragedies and other threats that will continue past the deadline set by the Taliban, past the remedy for the people of Kabul, those extracted, those left behind. This is about the Horn of Africa, the Nile River Valley, and the threat to the people of Ethiopia who've lived for the last part of the 20th century and the early part of the 21st in fear and rebellion from the dictators in Addis Ababa. Now, a prime minister in Addis Ababa, Abiy, is looking to knit together a country that would be up to 120 million people in the Horn of Africa, a power, an opportunity for prosperity. However, I begin, Gregory, right now with the puzzle for Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed Ali. He is threatened by two extremist groups, both identified as Marxists. That's what they say about themselves. The Tigray People's Liberation Front and the Oromo Liberation Front. What can we say about those extremist groups, given that Tigray gets the attention in the American news? I don't see Oromo so much, but what is driving them? What is it that they want to happen for Ethiopia? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Both the OLF and the TPLF are both separatist groups. They began life in around 1960 in demanding the secession of their regions from Ethiopia. Interesting thing is that neither of them could actually come up with a comprehensive method of survival for these areas, and neither of them represented the majority or anything close to a majority of the populations of their of the Oromo and the Tigrayan region. Subsequently, when the Soviet Union collapsed in 1990-91, the TPLF found itself in Addis Ababa after the then-ruling Marxist Derg had left, and the old dictator Mengistu Haile Mariam had fled with a lot of treasure to Zimbabwe, where he still lives. The TPLF were persuaded by the U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Africa, Mr. Cohen, to become the government of Ethiopia, all of Ethiopia. When Meles Zenawi, the head of the TPLF, said, well, we're only looking to secede from Ethiopia, Cohen said, well, we're too busy worrying about the breakup of the Soviet Union. You're in charge of the whole country. So they literally took over the country, controlled the political process from behind the scenes thereafter, and in fact until 2018, and they robbed as much money as they could out of the federal system. They created an alliance during the Obama administration in order to allow the U.S. to use air bases and the like for drone flights out of Ethiopia to strike in the Somali rebels. So they got a lot of money from the U.S. for that. They got a lot of U.S. passports for the TPLF leadership, and they also were stealing aid and other monies coming out of into the Ethiopian government. And they got away with about $30 billion. However, they never lost their belief that they would just steal for as long as they could and then return to Tigray. The OLF was a more, if you like, rooted, ethnically dominated group, which had felt marginalized from Ethiopia for some time. Not all of them, of course, but the small group. They, with the collapse of the TPLF government, went on a particularly genocidal binge, and they were explicitly genocidal. They wanted to kill Amhara people, who had been historically one of the leaders of the whole Ethiopian Federation. They wanted to kill anybody who said that they were Ethiopian as opposed to one of the ethnic groups. They wanted to kill people who said that they were members of the Ethiopian Orthodox Christian Church, because that expressly was related to all of Ethiopia and the like. So they were genocidal. The TPLF also became genocidal when their government fell in 2018, because they just actually ran out of capacity to run the country. So they, when Dr. Abdi took office, they went back to the bush, in a sense, but they had a huge militia trained by U.S. Special Forces, about 30,000 people armed by the U.S., and they had in total about, had taken about $30 billion or so dollars. A lot of that, of course, went off to private accounts. But so this group went back to the bush and started a war against the Tigrayan region state and then against the national state. And they wanted to also take points on other groups, particularly the Amhara people who were right next door to them. And so they started attacking the Amhara people and the Afar people, who are more or less a Somali people, mostly Muslim as well. So they again started in this campaign. Again, expressly genocidal, kill those people of these ethnic groupings. So the OLF and TPLF had an alliance, and in recent times, at the urging of the US government, Dr. Abiy was not fighting back, because all of the message coming out into the media was that the TPLF and the Tigrayan people were the victims of attacks by the federal government, which was at that stage not the case. So when the federal government tried to remove them, the U.S. government was urging Abiy, don't do it, don't do it. And essentially, the government found itself being victimized in the media with the support of the Biden administration.
Detail here, Gregory. I believe that you've guided me to the fact that Ethiopia has friends as well as these groups, OLF and TPLF, mm-hmm. in the region. And one mm-hmm. of those friends is Eritrea. Do I remember correctly?
You bet. The Eritrean government, which of course gained independence after the overthrow of the imperial government in 1974, they subsequently created a separate state. But the president of Eritrea, Isaias Afwerki, is a pretty tough guy, basically has always said, look, I would rather go back into the federation or empire of Ethiopia at any stage that that's possible. And he was actually rejected by the TPLF governing of Ethiopia at that time. So Eritrea is there on the coast, ready to reamalgamate with Ethiopia. So too is Djibouti, which most people forget, before the French occupation, was part of Ethiopia. And the president there, President Gali, has said he would welcome a return to the empire.
We've organized the highlands around the Amhara and President Abiy. However, the solution is not in conquering the TPLF, if it could be done, or upsetting anybody who supports the TPLF. If I follow your reporting correctly, the solution is in the Nile River Valley with President Sisi. How so? Because the last time we checked, the GERD, the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, was a flashpoint between Ethiopia and Sudan and Egypt. But you're saying there's a possibility of rapprochement between Cairo and Addis Ababa. Is that correct?
Yes, but it's proving very difficult to reach, because the Ethiopians and Egyptians aren't talking well to each other. And I would say that the Ethiopians are largely to blame, because they don't know how to respond to President Sisi's demands. President Sisi is facing a massive water shortage from the Nile in Egypt, and they're looking for scapegoats. So they're blaming Ethiopia and the construction of the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam. The reality is that this hydroelectric dam, which has just undergone its second year of filling during the wet season, did not actually divert the water flow from the Nile, and the Sudanese government even admitted that the water flow was normal during the dam filling process. Yes, Egypt has a water problem, but it is not being caused by Ethiopia. Still, President Sisi needs a scapegoat. So he's threatened war against Ethiopia and has drawn the Sudanese military, who you remember essentially lost office a couple of years ago. He's got the military there in Sudan aligned with the Egyptians to attack Ethiopia. So the outcome of this, of course, is that it's not going to produce any more water out of the Blue Nile, which comes from Ethiopia, because the water is flowing downstream, even though Ethiopia, as the upstream riparian state, has the rights to do what it wants with it.
And they filled the dam, and nothing dire has happened. Is that correct? They've finished the filling.
But the U.S. and Britain and France, to a degree, supports Egypt because they want to recover their lost sovereignty or suzerainty over Egypt. Egyptians are never going to let that happen, but nonetheless, the State Department and Whitehall think that they can gain favor by supporting President Sisi in this. So they've actually been working against Ethiopia, but with no real outcome in sight. So the answer has got to be somewhere else. And part of the problem, of course, is Egypt's own dam structure built around the Aswan High Dam up on the Sudanese border, which has been a disaster in many ways because it's constrained. It's stopped the annual flooding of the Lower Nile, but it has also stopped the flow of nutrient-rich soils which have been coming down every year from the Amhara Highlands. So the agricultural sector of Egypt has failed. The program of irrigation has been very, very poorly executed, and the process of damming the Nile at the Aswan has actually raised the water table of Lower Egypt to the point where it's now flooding a lot of the antiquities and the tunnels and so on of the great antiquities of the Cairo and other areas. So Egypt is suffering, so they need to find another solution, and it's not going to be found in a military attack on Ethiopia. But if you're President Sisi and you're facing massive discontent, what do you do? There are solutions, and a lot of those have been proposed by, for example, the grandson of Emperor Haile Selassie, Prince Hermias, Haile Selassie, who's president of the Ethiopian Crown Council, which still exists. And he's saying, look, we can start to mediate this, and we know we can suggest a number of grand bargains between Egypt and Ethiopia, which would create a greater regional economic zone to address water issues as well as general trading and movement issues, investment issues and the like. So this grand bargain would be something that you would have expected of an Anwar Sadat or a Haile Selassie.
Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, very carefully diagramming the challenge of the Horn of Africa. There is a solution, and it takes time. President Abe in Addis Ababa, President Sisi in Cairo have the tools. When? We turn to another intractable that is changing very quickly, Afghanistan and the region, when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bashan.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.